We praise him, we seek his aid, we seek his help, and we seek his forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own souls and from the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I openly bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. I ask Allah, glorified and exalted, to accept our righteous deeds, to place the reward for this sitting on our scale of good deeds, and to keep every evil and this right thing away from us. Ameen. To proceed. In this city, inshallah, if Allah wills, I would like to advise myself first, and those of you who are listening to me now, as well as those who may hear the recording later, with a few points of advice from Sheikh Abu Hassan al-Ma'ribi. Surely the information available regarding seeking knowledge is abundant. About the virtues of knowledge, its status, the position of its possessors, and the nation's need for it, meaning the Muslim nation. So much so that on this particular talk, there's really not much need for me to go over it once again. Rather, I would like to simply put forth some points of advice to the students of knowledge. For verily, the students of knowledge are the elite members of this nation, the great hope that we look forward to, inshallah. They are the ones we expect Allah to use to revive the distinguishing characteristics of this religion, spreading good virtues by them and using them to conquer wickedness, inshallah. So this part of our community deserves more of our concern, careful watch, and guidance than any other group, since they benefit a great number of people. As opposed to others, their benefit is not restricted to themselves. Whether they extend to the whole nation, those present in our time, as well as those yet to come. So the first advice that we can give to the student of knowledge is to remain close to the scholars. So I say, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, may Allah bless you all. Take care, take special care to remain close to the people of knowledge. Take special care to remain attached to this forum, to Al-Quran al-Sunnah, to this website, as well as other things similar or greater than it. For indeed, taking matters to the people of knowledge surely keeps us away from fitna, from chaos, from confusion, from things of this nature. It secures one from going astray and protects one from falling into error. No people ever went astray while continually consulting the people of knowledge. How could they go astray obeying Allah's orders and His guidance? As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, so ask the people of knowledge when you do not know. So whoever asks the people of knowledge and consults them, then he has been granted success, and he has fulfilled what has been asked of him. Whoever carries out what Allah has made obligatory on him, then Allah does not go back on his promises. Allah Azza wa Jalla also says in the Quran, and whoever has taqwa, fear of Allah, then he gives him ease in his affair. The one who returns to the people of knowledge, going to them in all affairs, in both the apparent and the confusing issues, is granted success in Allah. So from this important advice of returning to the people of knowledge is that taking knowledge is done by way of the senior scholars. And knowledge is not taken from the senior scholars. And knowledge is not taken from the people of innovation. Even if their repetition had been magnified to some people, meaning the people of innovation, the people of innovation are lowly and wicked. Even if they possess some prestige with some of the people, those are usually the people who do not even know the straight path. Other scholars explain that these people are those new to seeking knowledge. Those who started seeking knowledge but never became strong in the affair and never attained the proper fundamentals. Knowledge is not to be taken from these kinds of people, since they themselves were not able to master the affair that they had begun. So if they couldn't master it for themselves, how can we take advice from them? In every situation, returning to the people of knowledge and taking from them protects us from fitna, from this chaos and confusion. So be warned about these wicked people, the people of desires and strain, the people who make statements that contradict Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Be warned about the people who try to divide and split the ranks of those who follow the truth. All of this is closely related to my advice about sticking closely to the people of knowledge, since remaining close to them prevents one from falling into these kinds of errors. For keeping distant from the people of knowledge leads one to fall into these affairs, and indeed with Allah is the refuge. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, it is a must for us, us to learn the proper manners needed to seek knowledge. We must not seek knowledge to look down on the people. We must not seek knowledge in order to draw attention to ourselves. We must not seek knowledge to argue with the foolish people or to gain positions over them. And indeed, we must not seek knowledge to argue with the scholars. I advise you, as I advise myself, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, that we must only seek knowledge for the sake and for the pleasure of Allah, and we must indeed be humble. For verily, if a man has been granted some knowledge, then it is binding on him to make that knowledge a way for him to become humble. As for the one who is granted knowledge, but he does not become humble, then this is a very bad sign. Right now, you and I, every one of us, we need to question ourselves. We should ask ourselves, how well are we acting according to what we know? How is our humility, our character, and our humbleness? Some students, when giving knowledge by Allah, He grants them an abundance of it. Deal proudly with their brothers, looks down upon them, and they view themselves as being far above them and much greater than them. Indeed, this kind of person has not received any beneficial knowledge, since he is being harmed by what he knows. His knowledge, and with Allah as the refuge, is causing him destruction. Ayub al-Shaktiani, as well as
Salam alaikum. No, we don't have sound.
Assalamu alaikum. What was the last portion that you got, inshallah, so I can go back to it? Okay, inshallah. Let me go back and trace my steps. Okay. Can everyone hear me now, inshallah? Okay. I'm going back a little further, inshallah. It is a must for us to learn the important, it is a must for us to learn the proper manners needed to seek knowledge. We must not seek knowledge to look down on the people. We must not seek knowledge to draw attention to ourselves. We must not seek knowledge to argue with the foolish people or to gain positions over them. We must not seek knowledge in order to argue with the scholars. We must only seek knowledge for Allah, and we must be humble. For verily, if a man has been granted some knowledge, then it is binding on him to make that knowledge a way for him to become humble. As for the one who is granted knowledge, but he does not become humble, then this is a very bad sign. Right now, every one of us, we must ask ourselves, how well are you acting according to what you know? How is your humility, your character, and your humbleness? Some students, when given knowledge by Allah, and He grants them an abundance of it, they deal proudly with their brothers, look down upon them, and view themselves as being far above them and much greater than them. This kind of person has not received any beneficial knowledge, since he is being harmed by what he knows. His knowledge, and with Allah as the refuge, is causing him destruction. Ayyub as-Shaqtiani, as well as Abdullah ibn Mubarak, may Allah have mercy on them both, used to say to their companions, "You are in need of learning a little bit of manners, more than you are in need to learn a lot of knowledge." So good manners to a student of knowledge are like the leaves of a tree that shield and protect him. Any student who is not well-mannered, nor is he humble with his brothers, nor have favorable behavior, how can he be considered a true student of knowledge? He is in fact running the people away from knowledge. Verily, he is preventing people from following the religion, from Allah's path. How many call to Allah's way, but prevent the people from following it? How many are quick to remind the people about Allah, but are heedless themselves about their own reminders? And we ask Allah to pardon and excuse us. Ameen. So the student of knowledge, he must be upon righteous character. He must behave well with his teacher. He must have good manners with his companions, with his brothers and sisters in Islam. He must have good conduct with those that are younger than him. He must behave well with his elders and those with authority over him. He must have good manners with those who assist him and do favors for him. He must have good manners with the young and the old alike. He must fulfill the rights that Allah gave all those around him. So look to a person's knowledge. If you see him studying this year upon good character, then 2 years later you find him with much better character, know that his knowledge is affecting him. He is benefiting from it. Whoever benefits from his knowledge, Allah will benefit the people by him. And if you see the opposite in someone, then know that he is on the brink of destruction, unless from Allah's mercy he blesses him to not be one of those ruined people. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, verily The one who truly fears Allah from amongst his servants are the scholars. Knowledge cultivates humility and humbleness. Knowledge grants one the ability to fight desires and gain control over oneself and culture. This is how our righteous predecessors were. The real Salaf. They used to be very concerned with their own selves and with their relationship with Allah. So my advice to the students of knowledge also includes that they must remember Allah. From the greatest of any mistakes, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is that the students heedlessly abandon the remembrance of Allah and the acts of obedience that draw them closer to Him. Some students may think that as they seek knowledge, they do not need to pray any of the optional prayers, nor do they need to fast optional days. They may feel that they are not in need of these kinds of deeds, even though the righteous predecessors used to be the most concerned of the people about them. And despite this, they may say, I follow the minhaj of the righteous predecessors. The way of the righteous predecessors involves statement and actions, not simply the refutation of people and innovation. This was just one door from the many great doors of good that the righteous predecessors opened for this nation. And just as the righteous predecessors used to refute innovators, they used to have great moments between them and Allah, Azza wa Jal. They used to worship Allah privately. They used to have sittings wherein they would have taken into account themselves, their charge, and as well as the things that they desired. If we indeed are going to follow the path of the righteous predecessors, we should love to follow their way in all affairs, be they openly or privately. The one who excels in his search for knowledge, but abandons the optional prayers and loses out here and there, he cannot be truly considered a student of knowledge, even though he has knowledge and is able to quote references from the Quran and Sunnah. Imam At-Tahawi, when he mentioned the biography of Is'ar ibn Qadam al-Hilali, he talked about his worship and that he was not only exemplary in his worship, but in his studies of hadith, as well as a scholar of hadith, and at the same time, an outstanding worshiper. He saw the people expelling their efforts, seeking strange hadith and rare additions to certain narrations that they used to consider points of belief, some of them da'if, weak, some munkar, wrong, others sahih, good, and the like. He saw that the people used to busy themselves for long periods of time with these things. So he said, verily, this hadith has diverted you from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer. So will you not stop this? Mus'ar used to say this. As Al-Khatib reported, as well as At-Tahabi, when At-Tahabi mentions it, he explains this saying, whoever seeks knowledge just for the thrill of it, just because he is driven to learn, not for a religious reason, then we fear for him. And whoever seeks knowledge and abandons optional forms of worship, he is lazy and despicable. Indeed, he is lazy and despicable. Then he mentioned that when the righteous predecessors used to seek knowledge, they used to give their optional deeds their proper share of attention. Indeed, it is binding on the student of knowledge that he concerns himself with the remembrance of Allah. Those phrases of remembrance from the morning and the evening, the dua of the morning and the dua of the evening, and the remembrance of Allah that follows the five daily prayers. So many of the students do not recite the phrases Subhanallah, the prescribed 33 times, nor do they say Alhamdulillah, or Allahu Akbar, or things of that likeness. And if that is something for the they act as if this is something for the common people only. Too many of the students of knowledge, when you see them coming to the prayer, you find them in the last rows. And the so-called common people are lined up in the first rows. And the students of knowledge are in the last rows. When Allah Azza wa Jalla, His Messenger has told us that the best row in the Salat is the front row for the men, and the worst row for the men is the back row. It is as if trying to get in the front, the first rows, or even coming early to join my prayers, they act as if these are the things for the common people, not for us. We are special people. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is not correct. These are the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided all the people to. And the companions were the most pious of the people after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they used to take care to constantly do these things. And the companions were the most knowledgeable people of this nation after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they used to guard over their performance of these things. These supplications, these phrases of the remembrance of Allah, have a great effect on the cultivation of the heart. They are our...
Hello.
Okay, mashallah. Thought our voice is going again.
Yes, who's calling?
They are our provisions, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam.
Yes.
Our provisions for the journey. If a man remembers Allah as a wajal and pays attention... to his consistent remembrance of Allah, these phrases of remembrance, these dhikr, then he has taken his provisions that would seize him through his journey to Allah, mighty and majestic. Provisions that help him get past all the obstacles in this worldly life, the many problems that will keep him busy, provisions that will help him carry his heavy load. When Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Tamiyyah, Rahimahullah, Rahmatullah, they used to pray Salatul Fajr, Subhanallah. He would sit down making his dhikr until the sun rose. And he used to say, this is my morning meal. If I don't do this, I will lose my strength. Or strangers to this nature. He used to actually nourish himself with the remembrance of Allah. So the person who misses out, not remembering Allah, the foolish people will get bold with him. If you miss out on these remembrances of Allah, these dhikr, these supplications, not sticking to them consistently, the people will boldly go after you with one insult after another. This one will insult you. That one is talking about you behind your back. This other one is trying to refute you. Someone else will take a stab at you. With truthful things, or even more likely, with falsehood. Abandoning the remembrance of Allah causes a man to exit his fortress. The remembrance of Allah, keeping our tongue wet with the remembrance of Allah, is a mighty fortress. Whoever enters it will be safeguarded. Abandoning the remembrance of Allah, or being heedless about it, makes a man susceptible to the attacks of the human devils, as well as those from the jinn. As students of knowledge, how many times in our lives have we faced grief and pain? How many times have we been attacked, talked about, slandered, and insulted, even by those who ascribe themselves to the sunnah? These biased partisans who ascribe themselves to the sunnah, they cause division to this nation, busying it with these affairs, and with Allah as the refuge. These people, and those of you who are here who've been in Islam for a little bit of time, you know who I'm talking about. They are the first ones who will talk about you. How bad is it when you find the closest people to you are the ones talking about you? No doubt, this is a great burden on the soul. As it has been said, the oppression of the close relatives is more severe and more difficult to deal with within one's soul than the striking of an enemy sword. This is such a difficult blow to the soul. So then, what about those not so close to you? The da'i, the one who calls to Allah's way, and this is to be expected from one ascribing himself to the sunnah, is being refuted by this one. And that one is talking about him. And some are distorting his reputation. This one is setting people against him. And there are people trying indeed to kill him or put him in jail. And others are trying to make his life difficult. All these things happen. So you are not able to become strong in the midst of this struggle, restless oceans, and tidal waves of fitna, except, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, with the remembrance of Allah. Indeed, the remembrance of Allah is security and a mighty fortress for you. So be warned. Be warned about failing to take advantage of this fortress and thus exiting it, making yourself vulnerable to the devils, or simply opening your door to your enemies from the human devils and those from the jinn enter upon you, disturbing and frustrating you tremendously. And with Allah is the refuge. So I advise you, as I advise myself, to the students of knowledge, as well as all those who love the sunnah, to consistently recite the phrases of Allah's remembrance that came to us by way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in their correct forms, at their correct times, repeating them the correct number of times, at the occasion that the sunnah specified, so that we may become, with Allah's permission, from those that Allah talks about in the Quran when he says, those who remember Allah much. For when Allah Azza wa Jal ordered us to make dhikr, He did not simply say, remember Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, remember Allah with a great amount of remembrance. So a person indeed may make dhikr, but he may not necessarily be from those who remember Allah much. For Allah did say, remember Allah with a great amount of remembrance. And truly Allah made dhikr one of the main reasons for a person's stability. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O you who believe, when you meet a group of the enemy, then be firm and remember Allah with a great amount of remembrance so that you might be successful. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the remembrance of Allah in times of fear, when you prepare to face the enemy and fight their strong ones, is a factor that leads to victory. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, do not look at the remembrance of Allah as the common people do, as if it is a simple task of counting some words of praise on your fingers, and then they're finished with it. This is not correct, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. The remembrance of Allah is with the heart. As you remember Allah in the whole of your heart, saying the words that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and thinking about their meanings, reflecting on it, especially when these small words carry great and numerous meanings. I mean to say that you should remember Allah with these concise but meaningful phrases, those that are established on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you should not bring some phrase from your own selves, like we find from the Sufi scholars, when they make up these phrases. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us, and he left no stone unturned as far as the remembrance of Allah. So we say these phrases, then a deep meaning. The first and the last of them has great benefit. So I advise you, guard closely your adherence to these remembrance of Allah. the ones of the morning, so that you'll be able to find protection from Allah until the nightfall, and then be consistent to make these remembrance of Allah of the evening, so that you will be in a position of protection from Allah until the morning. One of my teachers, when I was studying in Egypt, mashallah, he would stress this to me every day. When I got through making Salatul Fajr, he would sit with me and command me to make these remembrance of Allah, to read from the book. The supplications of the morning. And when we got together for Salatul Maghrib, he would do the same thing, and he would admonish me and make me read the dhikrs of the evening. So I'm advising you the same way. Guard closely over your supplications to Allah, those that Allah will remove your distress because of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us about the farewell advice of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to his son. Nuh said, I order you with two things, and I forbid you from two things. I order you with La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And Subhanallah wa bihamdi, glorified is Allah, and to Him is the praise. By way of it, the entire creation is provided for. Subhanallah. So saying, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, causes one to be provided for. So let the poverty-stricken, troubled man increase his use of this praise, Subhanallah wa bihamd, glorified is Allah, and to Him is the praise. Let him increase his tasbih, Subhanallah wa bihamd. By way of it, the entire creation is provided for. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, there is nothing that exists except that it glorifies and praises Allah. So this tasbih, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, all of the creation is making it. So please recite this phrase frequently and consistently, Subhanallah wa bihamd. Excuse me. The condition of time we live in have overtaken us to the point where our minds often only think about tangible material things. Where is the spirituality, the use of the hearts, the relying on Allah Azza wa Jalla? Where are those who understood and actualized the remembrance of Allah and these supplications to Allah? The dua, the supplication to Allah, is a great avenue to seek whenever you want it. So how well are we utilizing it? How many diseases strike the people, and they run here and there, frantically seeking the cure? Perhaps someone may seek medical treatment for years, but has he set just one time, allowing his heart to flee towards Allah, making a firm request of Allah that He heals the sickness? Has he set one time and emptied the affairs from his heart and soul, raising his hands to Allah Azza wa Jalla in supplication? Ibn al-Qayyum rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that if a man calls on Allah the Mighty and Majestic at the times when the supplication is likely to be answered, according to the Sunnah, facing the Qibla, the direction of the Kaaba, and raising his hands in humility, beginning by praising Allah and sending salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking well of Allah and being persistent in his requests, then rarely will this supplication go unanswered. I say that we have great doors in front of us, doors that lead to plenty of benefits. It has occurred that many people today understand that the way of the righteous predecessors is not to talk about these kinds of affairs, nor busy oneself with these kinds of issues. That they only talk about so-and-so is this, and so is that. And this is not correct. The way, or the call to the way of the righteous predecessors includes discussions about the spirituality of the heart. It includes discussions about healing the heart, excuse me, and the things that harm the heart as well. The works of Ibn al-Qayyum rahimahullah rahmatullah alayh. Let's read his works. Let's read the works of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah rahmatullah alayh. Read the speech of Allah. Read the narrations of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about how he used to supplicate to Allah. These narrations carry tremendous meanings. Meanings that will stir up the heart. If the people would only read these supplications with a live heart, with an attentive heart, not with an absent, heedless, unmindful heart, and with Allah as the refuge. It could be that a person mentions Allah in such a way that he actually falls in disobedience with his dhikr, and with Allah as the refuge. It has been narrated that one of the rulers was sitting with another man. Some people came to the ruler and they said, so-and-so has done such and such a thing. So a man from amongst those who was present, he stood up and he said to the ruler, Subhanallah, oh Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, oh glory be to Allah. He said that. So in this particular incident, this man saying Subhanallah in this fashion was only to incite the ruler's anger against this person that they were discussing. So someone from amongst those people present said, I never knew that Subhanallah could be used to disobey Allah until now. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. Do you see how the phrase Subhanallah was used to disobey Allah? He only wanted to incite the ruler and to try and get revenge against the one who said the statement. Oh Subhanallah, he said. He did not intend to make dhikr by it. He did not intend to remember Allah with it, nor to glorify Allah the Mighty and Majestic by it. He only intended mischievous slander and provocation by it, hoping to revoke the ruler against this man. So dhikr, remembrance of Allah, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, must be intended for Allah Azza wa Jal. And the students of knowledge must be the foremost people who remember Allah. There were people from the righteous predecessors. Whenever they were seen, Allah would be mentioned. Whenever they were seen. Wherever they were seen. However they were seen. That has been reported about Abdul Rahman, even Abi Hatim. When he was seen, Allah would be remembered. Ayub was also described this way. And even Sareem as well. And Hamad ibn Salama. Simply by looking at them, Allah would be remembered. One of them, take this example. If you're with your friend, and every time you're with this friend, it reminds you of Starbucks, or reminds you of going to the Gap, or hanging out at the mall, or cruising around the neighborhood. This is not the person who you want to associate with. But when you see this brother, or when you see this sister, they make you think, Subhanallah. Or they remind you of the masjid. Or they remind you of the salah. These are the types of people who we want to associate ourselves with. And I've asked this question before, and I'll ask you this question again now. Who is your best friend? And many of you have a picture of a person in your head. But I would advise you, your best friend is the person that when you see them, they remind you of Allah. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to only let us associate ourselves, only let us keep ourselves with the people who are going to remind us of Allah. But when we're walking down the street, for the brothers who are here, and a beautiful woman passes by us, and we get that first glance that it's a gift from Allah, but the nafs, the shayateen, and the devils within ourselves make us want to keep staring, the brother says, A'udhu billah, brother, seek refuge in Allah, itaqillah. Or the sister's the same way, they see a handsome gentleman with a nice thobe and a nice long beard, and the sister starts to look at him, and then the sister reminds him, fear Allah, sister. These are the type of people who we want to associate ourselves with, and may Allah only keep us with these people. Ameen. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, where are the people of Hadith, Ahl Hadith, like this? Imam At-Tahabi said, I am not able to see them except in the books or in their graves. And that was back in the day of At-Tahabi. He said, I am not able to see them except in the books or in their graves. So imagine now, 2003, where are the people like them? We ask Allah to excuse us and to grant us security. Ameen. Where are the people like the people of the Hadith? The people of the Hadith were the ones who, due to their presence, Allah removed trials from the places they went. As Ibrahim ibn Adham said, Allah has removed calamities from the places they travel because of their journey there. The people of Hadith are the blessed possessors of virtues on this earth after Allah Azza wa Jal. The people of Hadith are those who memorize and preserve the religion and convey it to the people. For this, they journeyed far and were seen as strangers. And because of this, people tried to harm them. As every businessman stand behind his business, every king stand behind his business, his kingdom, and every owner of some worldly things stand behind his little piece of the dunya, and every person of desire will stand behind their craving. As for the people of Hadith, they were the ones who traveled the earth from the east to the west, gathering religion from the chest of men, organizing chapters and arranging them, authoring books and propagating the religion amongst the people. And from the characteristics of the people of Hadith, they were the people of the remembrance of Allah, the people of Dhikr. They used to remember Allah much. They were also the people of hard work and perseverance. Which leads me to the next piece of advice. Again, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I advise you, as I advise myself, to be people of hard work and perseverance, doing good deeds and acts of obedience. It is not for a man to do some acts of obedience and then allow it to dwindle away and to leave it. No. If Allah makes a way for you to perform an act of obedience, then stick to it. If you have been granted the ability to pray at night, then don't abandon it. If you are able to fast, then don't abandon it. If you are able to perform an act of worship, then do not leave it off. We just finished Ramadan. The people fast. Some of them, like myself, made itikaf in the masjid. We gave charity. But now the month is gone. Just because the month is gone, doesn't mean the worship is gone. Insha'Allah, these beautiful habits that we picked up during the blessed month of Ramadan, let us follow us through the other 11 months of the year. Let us increase it, insha'Allah. For Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, for verily, the most beloved of deeds to Allah are those performed consistently, even if they are few. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla increase us in ibadah. Ameen. Some people become active and soon after weaken until eventually they become inactive. They are active for a month, like I said during Ramadan, and then become stagnant for years. The most beloved deeds to Allah are the consistent ones, brothers and sisters, even if they are few. Patience has, as the scholars have told us, three main categories: patience upon obedience, patience against disobedience, and patience through trials. Patience upon obedience means to continue and be consistent in your good deeds. And they do not do something and then leave it off. It means that you do not persist with good actions and then abandon it. Patience and against disobedience means that you refrain yourself from falling into acts of disobedience. And of course, patience through trial needs no explanation. The most difficult of these categories is patience upon obedience. Indeed, the most difficult of them is patience upon obedience. For example, a man may pray Salatul Duha. He may pray it for a week and then abandon it for a month. A person may become consistent when making a certain dhikr, a certain phrase of remembrance of Allah. Or he dedicates a certain time consistently for private worship of Allah. And then all of a sudden he becomes busy. And eventually he'll no longer do it. My advice to the students of knowledge is that if they become acquainted with a beneficial action, they must stick to it. Guard their performance of it. And continue with it. For verily, this is a great indication for a believer and a sign of good for him. A great sign for the believer is that he increases in something good every day. And every day he increases in goodness. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I advise you, as I advise myself, to look to the kinds of gatherings that increase yourself in iman, in faith. He must sit in the gatherings that cause his faith to increase. And the gatherings that decrease his faith, he must stay away from them. Be warned about sitting in the gatherings that cause your faith to diminish. Be warned about your companionship with a person who causes a decline in your faith. Even here in this room, as we sit, sometimes we get, and you look in the chat, we're talking about worldly affairs. Remind the people why we're here. We're not here to gossip. We're not here to catch up on old times. We're here for dhikr. And for the remembrance in the law and the knowledge of his deen. Look to the meaning of fiqh, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. This is the real fiqh. The faqih is the one who is aware of the reasons for the increase and decrease of his faith. This is the real faqih. The faqih is not the one who only knows the points of differing in certain issues. And that this person said this, and that one said that. And the correct opinion is such and such. This one is the faqih regarding the orders of Allah. But if he does not combine this with the understanding of the affairs of the heart, then he is ignorant about Allah. But knowledgeable regarding the orders of Allah. The Jews, they used to have much knowledge, but it was merely information to them. Meanwhile, they used to be ignorant about Allah Azza wa Jal. They were bold in their dealings with Allah, inventing lies against Him. They used to accuse Allah Azza wa Jal of having ugly characteristics, saying that His hands is tied up, or that he is poor and they are wealthy. They used to make these horrible statements about Allah while they had knowledge of him. They were possessors of knowledge and an awareness despite these statements. So the student of knowledge must keep close watch over this. He must concern himself with his moral excellence and becoming from the people of righteousness, those firmly established upon good, those who stop at the limits of Allah. Do not transgress Allah's limits. You are students of knowledge, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. You are the youth of today and the elders of tomorrow. Today you are listening, and tomorrow you are the people who will be listened to. Let me repeat that. Today you are listening, but tomorrow, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you will be the people that are listening to. So the student of knowledge, his task is an extreme one. His phase is lifting. And no one will pass through it successfully except those who bear through the entire length of the phrase without stumbling. Do you think that you are on the right path, even if Allah willed that you study for 50 years and you are in the 49th year? You may slip in the 50th year. Then the first 49 years will be no benefit for you. I mean to say that the 49 years did not preserve your reputation. And I do not mean to say that your deeds will be lost with Allah. As the student of knowledge, personal history is widely circulated, as if it is printed on his forehead, and it cannot be hidden from view. Every time he falls into error, a black dot is placed in his personal history, one that can hardly be forgotten. So no doubt, the student of knowledge guards carefully over this issue. He must be careful to stick closely to the right guidance and judge properly in his affairs. For verily, among the supplications that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make was, Allahumma inni as'aluka huda was-sadad. O Allah, verily, I ask you for guidance and correctness. So a man and a woman should ask Allah for guidance and correctness, direction, and success in his affairs. The student of knowledge and all those who love the sunnah are also advised to have wisdom, to carry out their affairs with wisdom. They should go about their affairs with deliberateness and carefulness. And they should have leniency. May Allah bless you all in their call to Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, they must look to the long-term results of their affairs, the benefits and harms that may occur. They must not simply act according to the present situation in a way that leads ultimately to the demise of the da'wah, to the calling to Allah, or its isolation or restriction. We ask Allah to be excused and pardoned. Ameen. So the successful student of knowledge is the one who is wise in his call, kind and merciful to Allah's creation, knowledgeable about the truth, and with all of that, lenient and nice with the people. For verily, the call of Ahl Sunnah, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, is the call to the truth, the invitation to the truth based on knowledge and mercy to the creation. So if a person has knowledge of the truth, but they are harsh and rough with the people, then they are not fulfilling what Allah made obligatory on him. It would be better for him to focus on working on himself and establishing his own self and not to become a caller to Allah. That is because Allah Azza wa Jal warned us against that. He warned his own prophet against that, where he said, if you had been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have fled from you. And he was the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be warned about being severe and harsh-hearted. Be warned about being rough and difficult with your companions. So do not add to the difficulties of this age that your companions are already facing. Do not add your own set of difficulties, adding calamity after calamity upon what they are already facing on this time. Be compassionate with your companions, taking them by their hands, correcting and guiding them. Be patient with them and make excuses for them. They are the ones being pressured day and night by the people of falsehood and desires, simply due to their adherence to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then it is binding on you to be patient with them, to correct them, bearing their companionship, taking them by their hands toward Allah Azza wa Jal. The student of knowledge who has no wisdom causes more harm than benefit. So it is not expected for him to become an imam for the Muslims, no one that the people refer to, if he is not a man of wisdom. So having said this, it is binding on the students to be wise intellectual, and aware. The righteous predecessors used to say about a man who is wise and intelligent that his intelligence is greater than his knowledge. If a man is reckless and feeble-minded, displaying rashness and indiscretion, then they will say about him that his knowledge is greater than his intellect. He may have knowledge, but his intellect or understanding is limited. So our affair, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is not simply gathering knowledge of various sciences of religion. Rather, it is coupling this knowledge with understanding. Understanding and leniency must accompany knowledge, so that Allah Azza wa Jalla will benefit you by it, and then benefit others by you. These are the points of advice that I wanted to advise myself with first, as well as those who hear me, those present, as well as those who might listen to the recording. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant me and all of you keys to goodness and shields against evil, and to save us from the trials of evil sayings and actions. May Allah Azza wa Jalla raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that of his family and his companions. And may Allah grant them security. Ameen. All that I have said that is good is from Allah, and all the mistakes are from me and the shayateen. Jazakallah khair. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك بارك الله فيكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and please forgive me for going so long make dua for me بارك الله فيكم